from KQED.
As gay pride celebrations kick off this weekend, the issue of gays in the military is bubbling up in California. The state Senate's Veterans Affairs Committee this week passed a resolution calling for the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The policy went into effect in 1994, a response to concerns that having gays and lesbians serve openly in the armed forces would harm unit cohesion and discipline. Almost 13,000 people have been discharged from the military under the policy. But what's not so well known is the toll it's taking on the partners of gay service members. The California Report's Scott Schaefer has that story.
The deployment of troops triggers a jumble of emotions for military families. The moment is often marked by patriotic ceremonies like this one. There are military bands, speeches, and for the families, hugs, kisses, lots of tears, and public displays of emotion. Unless the person shipping out is gay or lesbian.
I can't be there when he deploys to Iraq. I can't be standing there on the sidelines waving goodbye and crying and giving him the big hug that everyone else can. If I do go to those things, I have to like stand behind a tree and hide and just watch from afar.
Ben Cartwright is a military spouse. He lives near Camp Pendleton with his male partner, a Navy corpsman whose name we can't reveal because it could lead to his discharge under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The policy is aimed at service members, but its impact is felt sharply by their families.
It definitely affects all of the military service members in a huge way. They have to live secrets, and if they are caught, their life is ruined. But there is another half to many of those people, and who knows how many of us there are out there. But our lives are also affected, you know, and all we're trying to do is love our partner.
Cartwright says that under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he's basically invisible to the armed forces. His partner can't acknowledge his existence. And even basic communications, the kind most military families take for granted, are difficult, if not impossible. Cartwright fears what would happen if their relationship were uncovered, an intimate phone conversation overheard by others, even a found greeting card signed, Love, Ben.
He was gone for his birthday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Valentine's Day, our four-year anniversary. He was gone for all those occasions in this past deployment. And unfortunately, I wasn't really able to send him any wishes for any of those very important milestones in our relationship.
Because under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the very existence of a same-sex relationship is tantamount to telling and therefore is grounds for discharge. It means that from time to time, Ben and his partner have to, in his words, de-gay the house.
So when his military friends came into the house to pick him up, they wouldn't see any trace of me. I had to take my college diploma off the wall, everything.
Military service is a sacrifice for any family. In exchange, the federal government offers them a wide range of benefits, from discounts at military commissaries to financial help with housing and education. The key to those benefits is a military ID card given to husbands and wives. But that ID card isn't available to gay or lesbian partners, even if they're married in a state like Massachusetts, where same-sex marriage is legal, says Joyce Razor, executive director of the National Military Family Association.
My sense is if someone brought their same-sex spouse into an ID card facility to sign them up for benefits, then they would run afoul of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law.
As Razor points out, that lack of an ID card or any formal recognition for gay family members means they're basically non-entities in the military's eyes. And that can have an impact running deeper than just the loss of military benefits.
If that service member, for example, is injured or killed, that partner would not be notified about the injury or the death.
Instead, Razor says, the military would notify a blood relative or next of kin who's listed on that person's emergency information, who might or might not tell the service member's partner. That's what happened to Jeff Carnes. The former Army linguist studied Arabic at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey and was later deployed to Iraq with the 101st Airborne Division. His partner at the time was in the Air Force stationed in Afghanistan, where he was injured by shrapnel.
In a normal situation, I probably would have been redeployed back to Kuwait. He would have been redeployed back to Kuwait, or we would have met up somewhere, maybe Germany, and that would have been the end of it. However, because I was gay and he was gay, we couldn't come out of our relationship.
Carnes was not notified of his partner's injury by the Army. He only learned about it a few months later after his partner had recovered. Carnes describes the lengths to which he went to successfully conceal their relationship, calling him by the gender-ambiguous name Frankie instead of Frank, and referring to him as she in conversations with Army buddies or while talking to him on the phone. That closet within a closet, along with aspects of living and working in a war zone, took an emotional toll on Carnes and his partner. But because they couldn't acknowledge their relationship, they couldn't get the kind of mental health counseling other military spouses are entitled to.
You really couldn't get therapy. And so as a result, we ended our relationship. And after that, all these issues came out. We had to sacrifice our relationship in order to have our mental health back, which is really unfortunate.
We met up with Carnes at a gay bar in Washington, D.C., a social mixer for gay and lesbian service members put together by the organization Service Members United. Retired Army veteran Alex Nicholson founded the group to advocate for lesbians and gays now or formerly in the military and their families.
Sometimes there are indirect, idiosyncratic support networks and communication networks, but for the most part, it's extremely difficult for military partners, for civilian partners of deployed gay and lesbian military personnel to deal with this.
A Pentagon spokeswoman declined to be recorded over the phone about this allegation that don't ask, don't tell means military personnel can't even access mental health professionals without fear of being outed. In an email message, Cynthia Smith from the Department of Defense press office wrote, "Psychologists are not required to report it to the chain of command when a patient admits their sexual orientation." But all the current and former service members I spoke to are aware of cases where psychologists have reported such information. That fear of broken confidentiality makes mental health services of limited use to many gay and lesbian service members. Army Lieutenant Dan Choi, a native of Orange County, is speaking out against the policy, and he's facing discharge from the New York State National Guard.
There's that feeling of isolation. There's that feeling of shame and being alone, and that can be very traumatizing.
Lieutenant Choi says gay service members go to great lengths to stay in the closet. He even considered a fake marriage.
But then I imagined, well, what if I come back in a coffin? You know, what if I get killed in Iraq and there's a flag-draped coffin and that flag is folded up and given to my spouse? In that ceremony, it's given to somebody that I don't even love.
Given all these obstacles, what draws gay and lesbian Americans to serving in the military? Lieutenant Choi says it has nothing to do with being gay.
It's about serving your country. It's about, you know, putting on the uniform and deploying and fighting your nation's wars when they need you. That's the bottom line.
President Obama says he intends to change the military's policy so openly gay men and women can serve in the armed forces, but it won't be easy. Earlier this year, more than 1,000 retired military officers, including several top commanders, signed a letter urging Congress and the president to leave the current ban in place. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.